Mark Smith goes to City Hall in Norwich to meet Councillor Mike Stonard, the chair of the East Norwich Development Partnership. Mark asks about what progress has been made so far and seeks to find how this public-private development will proceed.
Hello there, it's Mark Smith here. I've come to the home of local government here at City Hall in Norwich. And with me, I've got Councillor Mike Stonard, who's Councillor for Inclusion and Sustainable Growth. And you're also chair of the Norwich East Development Partnership, would you call it, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the East Norwich Development Partnership. Yes, public-private partnership, looking at the development of the four sites there.
Lovely, thank you. And this is a pretty major item on the agenda for the City Council at the moment. And you were just explaining to me in terms of how we can sort of measure the sites in East Norwich. And you explained to me it's somewhere between about 70 and 80 football pitches. And it includes a number of multiple landowners and various agencies that have got a big interest in the site. So what are the plans the City Council have for this site in partnership with other landowners and agencies, Mike?
Yes, so it's a huge site, as you say. And if you were to take 70 or 80 football pitches and plonk them down in the middle of the city, you would probably fill at least the area of the Inner Ring Road. It's quite a large area that people actually don't realise is there. It's available for development mainly because of the Carrow Works becoming available, and that's provided an access into the rest of the site. And there are four landowners. One is the City Council. We own Carrow House. Then the other sites are the former Britvic Unilever Coleman site, and then to the west of that and south of the river. Big up onto the east of that and south of the river is the Deal Ground site. And that continues all the way to Whitling and Broad. And then north of the river, just opposite the Deal Ground, is the utilities site. So it's a massive area, and it's available for development, and it's like creating a new quarter of the city. It's that big. It's a fantastic opportunity. But in order to develop it coherently and sustainably, we need to work with the other landowners and also other agencies to make sure that happens. What we're fearful of is that if we don't all work together, then we'll get four different sites developed in different ways and not coherently and not sustainably. And we really don't want that because this is a fantastic opportunity for the city. So we set up the partnership board, and we've got all the landowners on it, plus the county council, the Environment Agency, Homes England, the Broads Authority, Network Rail, Anglian Water, and others, all on that partnership, all voluntarily there, working out what the high-level principles should be for developing the site and agreeing on those so that we can start thinking about things like the infrastructure. The infrastructure, I'm thinking things like roads, footpaths, water supply, sewage, electricity supply, all that basic infrastructure, that we develop that coherently for the whole site. That's the first stage. And we also, when we're doing that, we're thinking together about what the access routes off and on will be and over across the site. So we're all agreed on that before we do anything else. And that we have done. We've got that basic agreement in place. We also need to agree other forms of infrastructure. So we're looking at social infrastructure, things like schools, libraries, GP surgeries, shops, and where they should be and who should provide them on which bit of land to serve the whole area. And we've got basic agreement on that. And then we've been thinking about planning policies. So and there are issues like about, say, the density of the building, the height and scale of the building, the types of accommodation that will be provided, where the industrial area should be because we want to create new jobs. And we've got sort of high-level agreement on that as well. So we've done an awful lot of work. But the important thing is that all the partners are sitting around the table voluntarily coming to this agreement. That's really, really important because, as I say, the alternative would be that all four go off and do their own thing, and then you end up with something that's really, really higgledy-piggledy and doesn't really meet the need.
And I guess when you're kind of getting around the table to talk and get all the other relevant agencies and landowners, that those discussions must have to be quite frequent.
Yes, I mean, we'd be meeting, we were meeting monthly and then bi-monthly. But yes, they do need to be quite frequent so that we can make rapid progress, which we've been doing, because we want more homes in the city, we want more jobs in the city, we need more social infrastructure, and this is going to take a long time. It's such a big site to develop, so we don't want to be delaying it any more than we need to. We need to be getting on and working quickly.
And in terms of the time scale, you were saying to me that it's unlikely there'll be any building work taking place until about 3 years' time.
Yeah, so we've got some agreement in principle. The owners of Carrow Works, we expect to submit a planning application in the near future for that site, high level planning application, the first application. We reckon it'll be 3 years before there's a start on site on Carrow Works, and then maybe another 7 years to complete it. The other sites are probably going to take a little bit longer because there are some site issues. They're more complex sites. So, you know, we could be talking 10 to 20 years, up to 20 years before the whole thing is completed.
Wow, that's a, yes, like you say, it's a massive development in the life of the history of Norwich, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And you know, we all feel a sense of responsibility for that. We're creating a new quarter of the city, a new area of the city, and we need to get it right. And that includes protecting the heritage buildings. The Carrow Works site has got a lot of heritage buildings, which are industrial heritage buildings, although there's also Carrow House, where the Coleman family used to live, that was their private house. And the City Council recently did an exercise of asking for all the buildings on all the sites to be re-evaluated so that we were clear which ones should be listed and protected and which ones shouldn't. And that resulted in a number of additional buildings being listed. So we're confident we've got the protections for the buildings that need to be protected. There are some there that, unless you happen to like 1960s architecture, probably can be replaced. But there are some really lovely old Victorian, Edwardian buildings there that we really do want to protect and actually open up for public use, for modern use, which, because people can't see them at the moment.
And will this be a mixture of private and public money that's going into the development?
So, absolutely. In order to make it viable, we need to have support. And Homes England provide money. They're a government agency that facilitates house building. And they have money that they can put into pump prime sites. So we've done modelling around the cost of the development, of the developments, the return to the investors and to the development companies, and the viability of that, particularly as we want to see policy-compliant social housing, which is 30%. And that does actually affect the financial viability quite significantly. So we are looking for Homes England to put a substantial amount of money into pump prime this and support it. We haven't come up with a final figure yet, but, you know, figures like £150 million have been talked about, and they haven't flinched yet.
But that sounds good. Yeah. And I should say that to the listeners listening to this interview, we're recording this on the 23rd of September, when the government have just announced their mini autumn budget. And obviously with the political agenda coming from central government at the moment about boosting the economy and getting things moving with growth, this obviously must fit in quite nicely with what's coming from the government as well.
Well, we want to see the area regenerated, and we want to create homes and jobs, and we want to see the city economy grow. Absolutely, that's what we want to do, and that's very much a part of what this project is about. And clearly the government want to see economic growth. I might disagree with them about the way in which you achieve that. I do, and I've got an economics degree, so I can speak about that with some authority, I suppose. But I guess at a superficial level, we share the same ambition, which is to achieve economic growth. Personally, I'd like to see the government directly supporting enterprise, initiative, and jobs, rather than providing tax cuts in the hope that, you know, that'll result in more investment, because I think it's dubious whether that will. But I wish them well, because what I don't want them to do is to fail, because we need projects like this to succeed.
Yes, that's great. And just lastly, Mike, you were also saying about looking at the inclusivity of the project, if I can get the word out correctly.
It's not easy to say.
And looking at sort of how, if you like, disability-friendly it's going to be.
Yeah.
Can you sort of touch a little bit about on, you know, we're all looking at some diversity and equality and looking at how making things accessible. How does kind of accessibility for people with a disability fit in with this project?
Yeah, well, accessibility is one of the key aims of the partnership, so to produce an accessible development, and accessibility takes many forms. So clearly we're looking at sustainable access for things like walking and cycling and public transport, and we're looking at opening up access to some of the historic buildings and to the waterfront. So that's all really, really important. But the, obviously, as you know far better than I do, there are other forms of accessibility, and you know, we're thinking about partially sighted or people who are... What's the phrase? That would
visually impaired.
Yes. Thank you. And partially visually impaired people, and people with other forms of disabilities who find access more difficult than able-bodied people. So we want to make sure that we're making the site and the services facilities there accessible for everybody. And we will be consulting on that. The first thing I would say is that we'll be consulting on all the proposals, and we'll include accessibility groups in that. Our project manager, who we've appointed to oversee the project, has previously been involved in other roles in consultation with accessibility groups covering all aspects of accessibility needs, and that's included partially and non-sighted people or visually impaired people. So we've got someone who's got the skills and experience to do that, and you know, the brief we've given him is that we need to make sure that we are properly consulting everybody. And you know, we've got an opportunity here. We've got almost a blank sheet of paper, so we haven't got many historical constraints of existing buildings and infrastructure which make it difficult. We actually can pretty much start from a brownfield site and build up, which is a fantastic opportunity.
And you were mentioning about public transport links as well. You're going to be looking at ensuring that there are good bus links into the city centre.
Yes, so basically we're looking at access onto and off the site, not just from the south, which is the Brackendale area, but also from the north, the Yarmouth Road area. We're looking at vehicle access, so we're looking at new bridges to across the rivers to... facilitate that, but most importantly we're looking at new bridges and routes for both public transport and cycling and walking, because that's what we really want to encourage. The partnership board has agreed at high level where those things should be.
That's fantastic, Mike. Well, we wish you all the best to yourself and all your other colleagues on the development steering group, and we look forward to hearing more about the public consultation. In terms of the next stage to the development, what do you anticipate that being in terms of how the public can have their say?
So we're going into stage three, which is the planning the delivery stage. So we've done all the high-level thinking and thinking about strategy and policy. We're now thinking about, OK, well, how are we going to deliver this? And that's things like, well, actually, what is the phasing going to be? What order do we do things in? And so there will be, as I say, consultation at every stage of the journey, and we will be consulting on that in due course. Not sure about the timescale for that yet. We've re-established a delivery board, or we've established a delivery board now. So the old partnership board has turned into a delivery board, and we have yet to have our first meeting. But that's going to be on the agenda, obviously, timescales.
Yeah. Right, well, thank you very much for your time, and good luck with all your discussions with all the various landowners and agencies, because I'm sure it must be quite a headache for you as chairing the development group.
Actually, it's all been very positive so far. We've had our moments, but it's been very positive, and you know, I'm confident we all share pretty much the same aims and objectives.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much, Mike.
You're welcome.
Mark Smith was talking to Councillor Mike Stonard about the East Norwich Development Partnership.